Today's scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Will. And good morning, everyone. It's always a joy to see you in the choir. I haven't counted yet, but there's a lot of you. It is a joy to see you. Friends, would you pray with me and for me? Let us pray. Thou who art over us, and thou who art one of us, give us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear you, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and a heart of faith that we may abide in thee always. Amen. Well, this morning I want to tell you about a man named Clarence Jordan. He was born in Georgia, and he was a pastor who also happened to be a skilled farmer. When he completed his doctorate in New Testament studies, he made a decision that was astounding to some people because he decided to return to South Georgia and begin an intentional community. The year was 1942, and it would become a working farm. There were all sorts of people from diverse walks of life that came to live together and to serve one another. There were people of color, and there were white people. There were people of great wealth, and there were people who were poor, at least by worldly standards. You could say it was countercultural because they actually took to heart the teachings of Jesus. They pulled their resources together to care for one another and then to serve those beyond their community. There are many stories told about Jordan, and here is one of my favorites. So on the farm, they had peanuts and pecans, and periodically they would sell them at roadside stands. Now the Ku Klux Klan, remember this is 1942, the Ku Klux Klan was vehemently opposed to this farm and all it stood for. So on two different occasions, the KKK approached the stands by force and set them on fire. But Jordan was fearless, and he and the community were determined about the vision that God had given them. They had no time for naysayers. And so they pivoted and decided to do a mail order business. They packaged up the pecans and peanuts, and they placed a sticker, a label, on each of the packages. And that sticker label read, "Help us ship the nuts out of Georgia." Jordan and his friends were compelled by the vision that was set forth in Acts that Will just read. We remember the telling of this story, of course, on Pentecost Sunday, but Pentecost, that Pentecost event did more than give the apostles the ability to speak and listen. It also prompted within them and among them a God-breathed jubilee, a social arrangement that was inspired by the rejection of private ownership of land. Possessions were sold, wealth was redistributed for the betterment of the whole. They ate with one another, they rejoiced in the sharing of meals. Who doesn't like a good potluck, right? As it read in Acts, the believers had glad and generous hearts. It is a beautiful picture of what a community of faith can become together. Of course, the challenge and the opportunity is to learn how it can be played out in today's world. The Spirit worked through Jordan and others to create this intentional community on a farm in South Georgia. Well, clearly, we're not going to do that here at University UMC in the heart of Austin. But how can these ancient words from Acts speak to us today? Well, I believe that there are two important lessons and takeaways from today's reading for us in this season. One is hospitality, or the welcoming of newcomers, and the other is service that is rooted in generosity and justice. So about welcoming people, we know that God created us to be in relationship. It's embodied in the very heart and presence of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Psychologists have been researching what they call the loneliness epidemic, an increasing number of people who say that they feel lonely. And then there is artificial intelligence. Now, I am no expert in it all. I know that there are places and ways and times that it can be helpful. But in recent months, I have read more and more about people turning to AI for emotional support. Now again, I am a self-avowed technophobe. I have a lot to learn about the benefits. But I also know that as a pastor, I'm convinced there is no substitute for the power of human connection and human touch. The answer to loneliness and need is community. The words from Cole Arthur Riley that were read by Jillian earlier this service, they echo the dream of God's beloved community. I want us to hear these words again. She writes that, "I want for you a community that will not destroy you, where your belonging isn't at risk. To be known is survival. So who will hold you? Who will remember you?" Well, my great prayer is that University UMC will be the answer to these questions, that this beautiful and, yes, imperfect but magical place will hold you, that this faith community where the Holy Spirit is on the move will be the means whereby God offers healing and hope, healing and hope feeding us as we gather week after week. You know, once when interviewed, the preacher farmer Clarence Jordan said, "Since our founding in the early 1940s, hospitality has been central to everything we do." You may ask, what about our race? Well, your family, your faith, it doesn't matter. No faith, we don't proselytize. Your background, no judgment here. We welcome everyone to visit. And these are good guiding principles for us today too. Now, in order for persons to experience a sense of welcome and to eventually claim a sense of belonging in this community, you and I have a role to play. It is up to us to help to create and foster that sense of welcome and hospitality. I'm struck in the Acts reading by the mention that day by day, the Lord was adding to their numbers. Who are all these people? I imagine the early believers saying, where did all these people come from? Well, for those of you who claim this place called University UMC as home, you have a crucial job in welcoming people who are visiting. And I know many of you do that remarkably well already. And it is work that we can all grow in. We can all grow in this work. Here are a few specifics. If you see someone and they look like a new face to you, introduce yourself. Now, I know that this is not everybody's comfort zone. Some of us might think that this is just the work for the pastors or the extroverts in the crowd. But do what you can. I hear it all the time, not just in this church, but in other churches I've served. People say, "Pastor, I'd reach out, but I'm just embarrassed, because, like, what if they're already a member of the church and I didn't know? Or what if it's somebody that I met last week and I can't remember their name?" Well, if that is you, then you're in good company, because that's me about most every Sunday morning. I definitely am from the "like, and remind me of your name again" club. Here's the thing, is what I know is that if we are not connecting with others because of our own hang-ups, it doesn't help other people feel welcome. Now, visitors, of course, are going to have different comfort levels when it comes to being approached. It's understandable. We're people, and so we're all different and unique. I remember years ago serving a church in Lake Hills in Bandera County. And I, at that time, I was dating somebody. This was before I met my husband, Paul. And I was visiting with this guy who, it took him a while to decide that he wanted to come to church. And he definitely fell into that hoping to go unnoticed category. He slipped into the very back of the church during the opening hymn. But during the passing of the peace, one church member who was sitting in the choir — it's none of you, it was a different church — this one person that was sitting in the choir, she was always very smiley and a little loud. She literally ran down the aisle during the passing of the peace and embraced him in a big bear hug. And I thought, no, 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 not the thing to do. So the point — there is a point — the point is that welcoming other people is like a dance. It's like we are participants on the dance floor of hospitality, trusting our instincts about when to move closer and when to offer space. Here's the other thing that Pastor Earl and I know. We know this from experience. You know, some people, they love it when they worship for the first or second time and they see the pastor walking toward them in her robe. But other people, not so much. It's true, congregation, that for some people, their first time here, being greeted not by the pastor and not with a big bear hug, but by an authentic, genuine church member offering them a greeting, that makes a significant impact on their experience here. For everyone, for all of you, whether a longtime member or a first-time visitor, we want for you a deeper sense of connection and belonging in this place. In other words, we want to be your community, or at least one of them. I know that the Sunday morning worship hour will always be the heartbeat of our life together. But we also know that there is a deepening that happens in small groups and in other ministry settings. That's vital. And you'll be hearing about those opportunities in the weeks and months to come, because relationships are important and potlucks are great. But as Acts teaches us this morning, this being in community is about more than a potluck. It's about serving. The Greek word used in Acts this morning for this type of community building is called koinonia. The early disciples devoted themselves to koinonia, a type of fellowship and sharing, communion and commonality that united them in purpose and vision. As Margaret Wheatley says, there is no power for change greater than a community discovering together what it cares about. And the key here is what we can do together. It's not lost on me that the first miracle of the early church took place not within an individual, but among a community of incredibly diverse people from all walks of life and various perspectives. So yes, it can be messy and uncomfortable at times being in community or working together when somehow not everybody agrees with my brilliant idea and perspective, right? But that's the work of being church together. You've heard me share this before. An African proverb reads that if you want to go fast, fine, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go with others. Later this service, we will come to the table and we will receive Holy Communion. And at the table, we will remember that in Christ, the role of host and guest is confused. Because Christ is host, inviting us to the table and feeding us. But Christ is also guest, as we open our eyes and open our hearts to see Jesus in the faces of one another in our midst. In the same way, we may show up to church thinking this is our place, we are the ones who have something to offer others, only to discover that a new soul is gifting us. Samuel Wells is the vicar of St. Martin's in the Field in London, and he sums it up beautifully saying this. He says, this thing being church is not about you can belong to me and my club because I am so generous. No, that's not it, he said. Instead, it's like this. Being with you is showing me that there is something beyond both of us that together we are reaching towards. Koinonia is about coming together in ways that lead us towards a common shared vision. It's about belonging not for our own sake alone, but for a purpose that is bigger than any one of us. Koinonia, it also happens to be the name of the farm that Jordan started all those years ago with his friends, Koinonia Farms. When he died, he was laid to rest in a simple pine box and buried in an unmarked grave. He was a man who never made himself the center of the community. And as a result, the vision of Koinonia has endured to this very day. Koinonia Farms is still operating in South Georgia, and it has given birth to new programs and new initiatives, including Habitat for Humanity. You see the story of what God can do among a community of believers, it continues to be told to this day. We see it. We see it among people who are compelled by a vision of peace and justice. We bear witness to it in moments when the role of host and guest is confused, as we sometimes give and sometimes receive. And we sense it. We sense it here in this place when we experience the power of belonging, a belonging and community that offers and shapes us into the healing and hope that we seek in this world. Amen.